So I just simply asked you a question. Is can I change my story? We looked at these various people on the screen, and we can. Learning, acquiring, attaining, and living. And that's what God dealt with my heart about, is how to live a supernatural life. That God spoke to my heart and said for us to come back, and that God would teach us, God would help us as a group, us. Help us to learn how to live a supernatural life. Now, God qualified that right after he said that for various reasons. And we'll cover a lot of those reasons as we go on through this series. But one of the major reasons is I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to understand that it's time for the coming of the Lord. We are in what the Bible calls one of the watching seasons of the Lord. From time to time, not often, there's only been a few of these. But from time to time, God lines up world circumstances and lines up situations in his church to where things get right for the coming of the Lord. Now, the Bible says if he doesn't come in the first watch or the second watch, but he's going to come in one of these watches. Now, the Lord doesn't tell us the time or the day. That's why he gives us a watch, a season that looks like it's right now time for the coming of the Lord. There's only been about two or three down through history. But the church world, I'm talking about almost every denomination, recognizes the time that we're living in is time for the coming of the Lord. And so the Lord really dealt with me about the importance of us knowing how to live a supernatural life. Because during the time of right preceding to the coming of the Lord, there's supposed to be a horrible time, the hardest time the earth has ever known. Now, after the coming of the Lord, it's going to be unbelievable. But leading up to this coming of the Lord, things are going to be tough. Now, at any moment, the Lord could come and catch us away. But it's important to know that we're going to have to come to a supernatural place to where God can provide for us. We're getting set for the economy to collapse. That's according to the scripture. We're getting ready for disease to be rampant. Things that cannot be cured, and that's already begun. And we have to come to a place to live. Up until now, we as the church we've been able to survive with the world by lining up our life and our thoughts to a lot of time with the world. So truly, it's hard sometimes to tell a believer from a non-believer, except on Sunday. Because we have learned to be God's secret agent team. Which we only reveal who we really are when the secret agents come together on Sunday. What it means is we've learned to live like the world. But one reason that the watch time comes is because God wants it to be really evident, to be a sign to all unbelievers across this world. He wants it to be really evident who believers are. And so God has called believers to a supernatural life. Although we've learned pretty well how to stay hid and live like the world. But with a deep love for God in our heart. But things are going to change. One reason that God allows it to enter into a time of watching. And so number one, believers can be prepared. We can begin to move spiritually where God's called us to. So we can survive. Because let me tell you, no matter what the economy does, no matter what the health issue does, no matter what war does, God is still the protector. He is still the supplier. He is still the one that takes care of his kids. Amen. If his kids are believing and trusting him. So it's not a time. Believers don't run into caves and store up food and get ready and hide. Believers just lift their hands toward Jesus and say, God, it's good to be your kid, especially during hard times. Amen. So we become a greater trust. But another reason that we enter into watches is so that the world will have kind of like a second chance before the coming of the Lord. So they can see that the wars and the actions and the things that's happening, they can hopefully be able to find it in the Bible or hear preaching enough to where they recognize that many will come to the Lord. But then also, it's so believers will get shook out of our complacency, and we'll begin to believe God for our families, and we'll begin to believe God into that spiritual place God's called us to, where we'll begin to become the church that God's called us to be. And so the Lord allows these watching times. But let me tell you, one of them, we're going to go, honey. We're going to fly with Jesus because he's going to come back and get his church. Amen. Now, we've had little times, segments in with the supernatural. Like I said, it's just been real easy to live natural with the supernatural God in us. But the Lord really wanted us to learn how to live supernatural naturally. God really wanted us to become a believer that didn't live like the deceiver, that had all the traits of a believer in their life. Now, we've had moments of this that's going to be so crucial and important for us to learn. I can think of here several years ago, I can remember a dream about an accident that was to take place with my children in a certain vehicle in a certain place. And I woke up that next morning and I moved in intersection. In fact, Charlotte, you called me, so I don't remember, but you called me that next morning and you told me to pray that you had had that same sense. And so I interceded and I prayed because in the dream, my family was deeply hurt from an accident. And so I interceded and I prayed. And then I said, now, Lord, do you want me to not go? That's great with me. I just want to do what you want me to do. And the Lord really moved in my heart to not change plans. That what he had been moving me to was to intercede and pray. That the intercession had prevailed and things had changed. Well, and because I'm natural and supposed to be supernatural, I begin to think, well, you know what? I remember the way that road was. I remember that curve. That's one I've never been on before. It's a road I've never seen before. And so I just won't go on it. If I go, I won't go in strange places. I got to Little Rock with my family, and sure enough, I carrying on the business there, I had to go into an area that I was not aware of. And I came down this road. I said, uh-oh. And all of a sudden, a road that I did not know what it looked like, I began to remember that dream. I began to see that very place. And then I was approaching the very curve. And around that curve came a car just exactly the way it was. But things had changed. Things were different. Amen. You know, 9/11 was a horrible time. 9/11, thousands of those wonderful people that were destroyed and killed through that terrorist action. But you know, there's a whole other group of thousands that were protected too. I love the testimony by one man that attends one of the churches in New York. And he said, that morning, he said, when I went to go in to the towers, he said, God spoke in my spirit and said, turn and run. At that time, nothing had happened. But he said, I obeyed what I heard. I turned and I began to run like a crazy man down that street. And about the time I heard the crash. How another one was found on up in it, and how God spoke to their heart and said, get out of here, and gave the plan and the path to get out. There was thousands of people, because there was something like 20,000 that worked there in those complexes, and thousands of people were literally rescued by people that could hear the voice of God. Now, I want you to know this. During this last day, it's going to be crucially important that we be able to hear God like that. Across this land, even this past week, the shooting that took place on the college campus. But whether it's in a movie theater, or whether it's on a college campus, or whether it's in a fast food place, we've just got to be able to hear. This thing, as it gets more rampant as the last days are approaching more and more, we've got to be able to hear God. And for God to say, don't go in there, don't carry your family in there, don't do that, don't drive down that road, don't go into that building. We've come to a time where we've got to hear God. Another reason that God brings us into these watches is because so many times we grow so complacent with our own family. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't understand how heaven can be heaven without one of your little ones being there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God brings us in these watches of deep concern, so we will use faith. So the church will rise up and believe God and say, you know what? My family must be saved. And I'm going to tell you what, every family needs somebody in that family to be a supernatural lifestyle, or to live a supernatural lifestyle. Every family. Let no family be a family without somebody in that family. Be the one that believes for supernatural miracles of God. Let no town be without a group of people that believe for the supernatural miracles of God. I tell you, Camden's head been hit about as much as it can be hit. It has been torn down about as much. And during this hour, God said, go back and believe me to raise up a group of people that will believe for the supernatural to be in this town. God still loves this city. He still loves this town. And we've got to have those that will believe. Because see, somebody says, somebody that doesn't know God's word says this. Oh, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. You don't understand the word of God. You don't understand, do you? That God and I are a team together, the Bible says. I do the believing part and he does the power part. That's why when Jesus walked the streets of Galilee and so many would come to him and they would say, Lord, will you heal me? And he would look at them and say, so be it unto your faith. We have a part and God has a part. God won't do our part and we cannot do his part. But I'm here to tell you, God is still a supernatural God wanting to move in supernatural ways. And God is looking for somebody to believe. Every family needs one. Every town needs one. Every state needs a group. And this world needs to see Jesus. Amen. So in the series, we're talking about how to live a supernatural life. God's going to help us. I believe weekly God's going to show up and the Lord is going to help us to learn. Everybody say, God's going to help us to learn to live a supernatural life. See, it's a life of miracles. It's a life where God, but see, supernatural is not supernatural to God. Supernatural is natural to God. And God wants believers to live that way. God's desire is that believers come to the place that even though we're in the world, we're not of the world, and we're not contaminated by the world, that we still believe in the miraculous power of God. Amen? See, because we're all full of definitions. And we're trying to define what a believer is. Well, I'm here to tell you what God has scripted that a believer is what a believer is. You can try to add your little cliche and your little quotes to it all you want to, but the Lord has already strictly said in His Word what a believer is. Amen? And the Bible says what a believer is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. One version says a brand new creation, man. There's never been nothing like you. We think we're just like the world. We just got a plane ticket to heaven. I'm telling you, you're nothing like the world. And not only do you have a plane ticket for heaven, but God has created, Almighty God Himself has chosen to come and sit down in your heart and try His best to nudge us, to speak to us, to move upon us, so He can get out of the box and help this world know that God is still the same yesterday and today and forever for the glory of God. Amen. The Lord wants to show Himself strong. This world, do not allow this world to go to hell without this world seeing that there is a supernatural God and there is a miraculous help. And even though that your family tries to be like the family of the world, that God can use your family situations to move a miracle into this world so people will know that God is still a miracle working God by what He's doing in the midst of our lives. In fact, we fail to understand the reason that we face the things we do is not because that God's trying to discourage us. The reason we face the things we do is because God is trying to do something great for us and through us. God is trying His best to take our needs, to take our problems, which are like the world, but give a supernatural miracle answer to those problems, to where the people will say, yeah, I can understand what you're going through, but I can't understand how you came out of it like that. I can't understand how God's miracle power works in you. Amen. So what He says, the old life is gone. Oh, we try to hang on to it. Man, the Bible calls it natural man, flesh man. We try to hang on to it. Man, we brag about it. We talk about it. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a new life that's really become. There's a new life that's really started in you. And it's trying its best, and in me, and it's trying its best to get out of us. But Jesus' term, by His own definition, Jesus said, what a believer. What was the description of a believer? Now, we want to say, now the Bible does say that they know that we're His disciples, that we're His learners by the love that we have one for another. But I want you to know, love is not the only ingredient that God has to prove to this world that He is still alive. God needs somebody to stand up and let Him come and show out in their life to show this world that God is still real. Amen? That's why He said Jesus qualified it Himself. He did this. Mark chapter 15, verse 18 said, these signs shall follow them that what? That belief. Jesus said, this is the way you're able to detect believers. That's what He said. These signs. You can say you're a flagpole all day long, but unless you're 40 foot high and you have something waving up on top of you, I'm not going to think you're a flagpole. You've got to have a sign, whatever it is. And Jesus said, this is the sign that people will know that you're a believer. That in My name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What God is saying is the sign to show that you're a believer. Oh, I know we want it to be our three-piece suits, or we want it to be all of our money that we got in the bank. But God said, let Me tell you what My definition is. My definition of a believer is when My miracles are able to flow through you and this world is able to see the miraculous power of God because somebody is willing to believe, somebody is willing to trust Me, somebody is willing to allow Me. Amen. So the Lord's already defined it. So you give your little definitions all you want to, but honey, I don't have time for them because God has already put His definition on the mark, and I believe God more than I believe any of us. God said, if you're believers, these signs are to miraculously follow you. But we hit this little problem. I'm a believer, but these things are not happening. Then what that tells me is, God, I have to allow the Holy Spirit to do something in here that will radically change what is happening out here in my life. But God desires for His children to be miraculous signposts that God is still real. This world does not need to die and go to hell. Your family does not need to die and go to hell. Your friends do not need to die and go to hell without knowing there is still a miracle power of God that is at work in and among His children. Amen. Now, if we're going to allow God to do this. Now, Elaine had a dream here several years ago. And Elaine's dream, I've shared this with you probably several occasions, but it's a dream that just finds so much meaning. And in this dream, Elaine and we, the church, were following along this certain path. And everybody was just hilariously happy. Man, we were joyfully serving God. And we were just happy in what was going on. We were just moving along this path. But all of a sudden, various ones began to make steps. And it was like they was taking a step in air. Because they would make a step and it would be solid. And as the whole group was moving on like this, all of a sudden there became a whole other group in that group that began to move up like this. They literally was airborne. And all of a sudden, it wasn't the laughter anymore. It became a seriousness with it. All of a sudden, life had taken on a seriousness in its meaning. But not only did they move up, they began to move forward at fast rates of speed. So God was speaking to us that out of our group of happy-go-luckies, that God is going to find people that really are looking for the miraculous God. And God's going to begin to move you up. You're going to begin to move up spiritually. Everybody say, move up spiritually. You're going to begin to move up spiritually, which is also going to give you propulsion to move forward dynamically for the glory of God. And what started out as one little small happily-go-lucky group now really changed into two vastly separated groups. Because you still had this little group back here that's laughingly along until they hit the brick walls in their life. And then you have this group that's drastically moving forward with their miraculous God for the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've already chosen which group I want to be in. Amen. I've already made decision of which group. Now, it was so wonderfully that in Elaine's vision, in her dream, that she was able to see that it was steps. It wasn't just like this. It was in response. God was doing supernaturally in response as people would take steps up, steps up, steps up higher and higher, then they would begin to move powerfully forward. So I'm going to tell you, during this last day, during the hour that we're soon going to be facing, I tell you what, there's so many reasons we need the supernatural. I tell you what this nation has become. I tell you what, you can laugh about this nation. You can still say that we got God and everything else. And I know I got God and I know you got God. But I tell you what, God's not into something that's killing innocent babies. And God's not into something that's rewriting the Bible. And God's not into those kind of things. God's not into godless politicians. But God's in people that want to serve Him and live holy lives and walk in the will of the Lord. What's soon going to be happening is there's going to be a judgment that is coming. But let me tell you what, we're His kids. Somebody say, we're His kids. And we don't have to be afraid of judgment. All we have to do is trust in the Lord. Because I tell you what, God was able to keep His kids during intense times of deep war. He was able to take care of His kids during intense times of economic disasters. God's always, always, and during this last day, God's not going to do less of that. God's going to do more of that. But the thing about it is, we've got to begin to live and expect a supernatural flow of God, or a miraculous flow of God, or I can just simply say, to live a spiritual life. we almost have been living natural lives and keeping our spiritual life hid. God's going to say, I'm going to train you to where you're going to naturally live supernatural. And every once in a while, you may have to come out in the flesh, but I'm going to live out through you, and I'm going to do some miracles for you. Then I'm going to do some miracles through you, and then I'm going to do some miracles with you for the glory of God. Amen. God wants Camden. God wants your family. God wants every place to know God is still real, and I'm still here, and I'm still able to do the miraculous. Because listen, your little go tonight to sleepy prayers and things, they're not going to work during the time that when this world gets tough. When the world gets tough, they're going to look around. They're going to know, I got to have something powerful. They're going to look for a people that is powerful. They're not going to look for a weakened down little group of people that some way learned how to mix into the world. They're going to look for a people that's different from them, that has a power flow that's different from them, that's able to believe different than them, that's able to see God move in their life for the glory of God. I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen to me in my spirit. That God is trying to save them. God is right now trying to save your family. God right now is trying to save my family. Right now, God is trying to head off things. Right now, God is trying to protect us. Right now, God is trying to provide for us. But God's answer for us is to allow Him to be the miraculous God. Because unless miracles are there and in our lives, we're not going to be able to be taken care of. God is always supplied miraculously for His people. Amen. Now, not only does the description of the believer come out in the form of the miraculous in Jesus, when Jesus gave the definition of a believer, but all through the Bible, all through the New Testament, I'm going to tell you what, signs and miracles weren't done away with. They became more evident through all of the believer's life. It came to a place where Paul said, I'm not coming to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I'm coming to you with demonstration of the Spirit and power. Do you understand? God never intended for His church to be some little defeated, backed up group that the devil had under his gun, and sickness and disease and destruction of this world were destroying. God meant for His church to be the powerful church that He had birthed in. And God stands in the midst of His church as resurrection and life. Amen. Amen. All right, now it says that the miraculous. All right, the first point, and that's all I'm going to have time to really talk about here today. I want to talk about the first point. How are we going to begin? How will God teach us? And the Lord is just like giving points spiritually as we're moving through this. But God has spoke to my heart and said that He really desires for this next year to be a different year in all of our lives. That the point that was the seeking of God has brought pleasure to the Lord. And God's response, how many of your lives have lived a hard life this year? There's been a hard one this year. It's been a hard time. God has seen that. And the Lord said, I want next year to be a totally different kind of life for you. But He also spoke to my heart. He said, Jerry, you go back and the whole team, y'all talk, I will give you direction. I will help you. I will teach you. I will train you to learn to walk spiritually, to walk supernaturally. And He said, there's a group that's going to catch it. And when that clock strikes and we roll into that first year, it's going to be a different story in their lives. He said, then there's going to be a group that's not going to catch it. But they're going to see what's going to happen in other people's lives after the first year, and they're going to catch it about halfway through the year. But then there's going to be a group or life group that's just going to sit around and complain why it never happens to them, because they'll never catch it. I'm here to tell you, God's calling us to a higher place, a much more wonderful place, a much better place. And if we will be willing to allow the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Why don't you take your right hand. Why don't you kind of pat your chest. It won't be what I teach you. Or it won't be what Elaine teaches you. And it won't be what Stephen teaches you. It will be what the Holy Spirit that's in you. That He will begin to teach you and begin to train you how to move in the area of the supernatural. And God wants it to become a lifestyle. It's the will of the Lord that the supernatural become lifestyle. Now, some have visited it from time to time. God said, I'm tired of you visiting. I want you to move in and live. And God is going to make it a lifestyle. God's going to help us. Amen. All right. Say, it's all about Him. That's the first thing that we've got to see, because a lot of times that's a different conscious. That's a different way of thinking, because a lot of times it's all about my healing. It's all about my ministry. It's all about what God told me. It's all about what I'm doing. It's all about what God's helping me to do. It's all about me. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to move forward spiritually, you're going to have to get the me out of sight of you. And you're going to have to drop the me. And you got to realize it's not about me. Because the more I make it about me, the less of Him is able to be in me. And the more I make it about Him, the more of me He's able to bring forth for the glory of God. Amen. All right, now let's just see what the Lord thinks about it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, Christ is the invisible image of the visible God. Jesus said, I am the image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme above all creation. And we make it about ourselves. And God said, it's got to quit being made about you and about your family and about your kids and about your dog and about what you don't have and about what you do have. God said, you quit being my and you make it about me. If you will let me shine, God says, I will be able to do miracles. All right. The next verse says, for through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we can't see. Such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. You know, it's amazing to listen to the scientists and all through the years. You know, they can see the atom. They're able to bring such microscopes where they're able literally to take whatever that you can see, feel, or touch, whatever it is physical, and they can break it down. But they cannot tell you the power that holds it together. Because I'm going to tell you what, the scriptures already told us the power that holds it together. The power that holds the smallest part of this world to the greatest part of this world. The one that holds it together, His name is Yeshua Jesus. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. And that's why when we move away from Jesus, our lives fly apart. Our peace flies apart. Our finances fly apart. Our victory flies apart. Our health flies apart. But the closer we squeeze to Jesus, the more His power holds us together for the glory of God. And let me tell you what, there's nothing that the devil can do to destroy what God has determined I'm going to hold together for the glory of God. So people can take critic all across this world. Politicians can move out and say, well, I'm going to straighten this world out. And we all laugh. You know, they can say all that they want to say, because I'm here to tell them King Jesus is the one that holds this world together. Jesus is the one that holds my world together, holds my life together, holds our very cell of our body together for the glory of God. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. I want to read that together. I want you to read it out loud, if you would. That verse 18 with me. Say, He is the beginning, the supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. Now give Him a shout of praise. He's first in everything. All right, now, if we're going to concentrate and make it about Him, if we're going to make our life, make our job, make our family, make our rearing of children, make our health, to make it about Him. I mean, you don't have to go hardly 10 feet to get a believer to want to tell you, oh, this is what my health's doing. Oh, this is what my mind's doing. This is what my family's doing. Let me tell you what, honey, if you will quit making it about you and start making it about Him, He will hold it together. If you will quit making it about your trouble, your difficulties, your power, your wisdom, your knowledge, what you can do, if you'll quit making it about you and you will make sure that you concentrate and make it about Him, He is able to sustain it, hold it together, and carry it over the top for the glory of God. Amen. All right, now the lie of the devil. See, the Lord, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4 it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Notice what it says. Do you see how many times the word "you" or "yours" use? Because the devil does everything that he can to make it about you. To make it about your life, your happiness, and the more you pursue you, the less happy you are. The more you pursue for you, the less happy you are. So what the devil does, he comes with the same old lie, trying to get you to make it about you. Now, we as the church world, we've added a part. It's me and God helping me. I'm going to tell you what, you need to get you out of it, and you need to get your concentration just on Him. If you can get your eyes off of you, and yours, and what you are doing, and what you have, and what you're trying to get, and what you're trying to accomplish, if you'll get it off of you and get it upon Him, something miraculous can happen. I'm talking about how to live a supernatural life. The lie of the devil is to make it all about me. Amen? See, that's what humanism says. Humanism says it's about me. Then we come along in the church and we rationalize everything. And we even got a little slogan to back that up. God gave you a mind, so you better use it. I'm going to tell you what. I haven't met a person here or anywhere that's half as smart as God. Do you understand? You can continue using the inferior if you want to, or you can drop over and say, you know what? I'm tired of living rational world. I want the wisdom that's from God. The Bible said that we may have His wisdom and all spiritual understanding. It's God's time that God desires to give people supernatural wisdom, supernatural knowledge, supernatural setups, supernatural meetings, supernatural help. Amen? So you can do all that you want to do, and yours will continue to die. Because let me tell you, where the curse is, there's only one thing that'll break the curse, and that's Jesus. The power of His blood. If you want the curse broken, you need to get out of you, get off of your smarts, get out of what you can do. And you need to say, Jesus, I don't know anything. I can't do anything on my own. I'm tired of concentrating on me. I'm tired of trying to get myself out of hot water. I'm tired of trying to get my family out of hot water. Lord, I want to concentrate on You. Will You come and just sit down in here? Will You come? Will You let Your hands be my hands? Will You let Your mind be my mind? Will You let Your eyes be my eyes? Will You let Your ears be Your ears? Will You let my mouth be Your mouth? Jesus, I died and Christ is going to live in me for the glory of God. Amen. Because see, religion says, get it and let God help you. Now that's what religion says. Religion says, you can please God. You can make it with God. See, religion says, and it's just a watered down version of the very thing that Satan tried to sell them in the garden. Because what they were, was linked up with the supernatural flow. Adam and Eve had a supernatural power inside them that was amazing, astounding. They had a wisdom that was unbelievable. You know, they could move. They could name every animal. They could give the proper names. They could understand those animals. They could understand. They could even talk to them. But the moment they began to concentrate on them, and the moment they wanted their own wisdom, that's why the word knowledge is there in that verse. It said that make you wise. Because see, the moment that you trade God's knowledge for your knowledge, the moment you trade God's wisdom for your wisdom, and you try to operate in the area of religion, that's what religion does. That's why religion has so much pomp and circumstance. That's why religion has the things it does, because religion is doing its best to try to please God. I understand their heart, and I appreciate their heart. But I'm going to tell you what, I just learned a long time ago, I can't do it. Amen. I just learned a long time ago, there's nothing good in me. There's nothing I can do to please God. So I'm going to have to die and just let Jesus live out through me. In fact, the Bible said that's the hope of glory, Jesus in you, the very hope of glory. Amen. Christianity said it's all about Him. That's what Christianity says. Christianity says it's about somebody that's living in you and living through you. Christianity is not a joining of a club. Christianity is not, I'm going to join the role of this church. Christianity is not, I'm going to sign up and be one of the boys. That's not Christianity. Christianity said there's a God in heaven that wants to move inside your heart and live His life through you. Christianity says that there's a God in heaven that wants to help you get out of the way and shut yourself down and let Him stand up in you. Jesus is looking for somebody to let Him be their hands, let Him be their feet, let Him be their mind. Jesus has more to offer this world than this world could ever think of. Jesus has more to give this world could ever imagine. Jesus has the greatest economy in the world. Jesus has the greatest supply in the world. He has total supply. He has total benefit. Jesus has everything. And Jesus is just waiting for His church, and He thought His kids would do it if anybody else would. Jesus thought His kids would rise up and say, Jesus, come on, live in me. Live through me for the glory of God. Let me be and let me show forth Your power in this earth. Amen. Now I had a picture I was going to bring this morning. Our view of this, because our view of this is really wrong, but I didn't bring it. I forgot it. It's still on my phone. I got it off Facebook the other day. It's our view of this. Our view of this is we come to church and it shows this beautiful little cat just walking in, so dressed and so groomed. Then all of a sudden, like it's in 10,000 hurricanes when we come out of church. That's our view of supernatural. That's the wrong view of supernatural. Supernatural is not here to embarrass you or to make you less than anything. God's miraculous power in your life is not to make you less, but it's to make you more. God's miraculous power in your life is not to take away from your honor, but it's to give you the greatest honor. Amen. God's miraculous power in your life is not to diminish you, but it's to build you up and make you strong for His glory. Amen. All right, now, that's what Paul called the wretched man syndrome. We all read about it. We all know. Wretched man syndrome. Found in Romans chapter 7. That's what Romans chapter 7. Notice what it says. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? But then he begins the thought pattern. Tells you the thought pattern of that wretched man syndrome. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do I not. But what I hate, I do. How many think he's got a little problem with I? Because that's the wretched man. You take a believer that concentrate on himself, and you have a wretched man. You have a miserable man. You have a man that life is not lovely. Life is not full of joy. When you find a believer that's trying to work out his own problems, trying to work out his own difficulties, trying to make himself right with God, I tell you, you got a wretched man. But I'll be honest with you, that's where most of us have lived. We've tried our best, but our best has failed. Oh, that doesn't mean we don't find some little pat on the back every now and then. But what I'm telling you is when it comes to the favor of God, it hadn't brought the favor of God. Because God's not interested in what you can do, what you can think, what you can put together. God's looking for somebody that will believe in what He can think and what He can put together and what He can make for the glory of God. That's why we call Christ in you the hope of glory, the Bible says. So the wretched man says, I will, I won't. But the truth is, it's really all about him. So the more I can get out of here. And that's why it's fine. When we call the wretched man syndrome was Romans chapter 7. When Paul was in the complexity. I tried, but I can't. Oh, I can't. Oh, wow. Oh, my. Some of you had that. I've listened to you lately. But then, who shall deliver me? And then it begins with Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is the answer for the wretched man. For the man that's tried and failed. For the man that's tired of running. The man that's grown tired trying to make it work out in his life. It says, for the law of the spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of spirit of life. What is that law of spirit of life? Well, it strictly identifies itself. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. If you're setting your mind on your things, the Bible says that but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. So a spiritual man, a supernatural man, sets their mind on, wonder what God wants to do in this thing. Wonder how God wants to handle this. Jesus, what's that nudging I feel from you? Flesh man sets his mind on things of the flesh. Well, this is what I want. This is what I think will work out. You guys, y'all just settle down. Let me show y'all how to do this. That's what the flesh man. But then it tells the result of that. For to set the mind on the flesh is what? It's death. But to set the mind on the spirit is what? Life and peace. So if I can care about what God thinks, if I care about the spirit of God that's in me, that God put his spirit in me, and he's nudging me, directing me. When you walk into that tower, run. Lord, that may embarrass me. He's going to save you. You better run. When you drive on that road, you better intercede first. Do you understand? If you set your mind on what your flesh is saying, it's going to end in death. 10,000 deaths. But if you set your mind on what the Spirit of God is, what the Spirit of God is revealing into you. Now, that closes in a beautiful way. That whole chapter does. And in Romans chapter 7, 20 times in 6 verses, Paul uses the word I or me or yours. Over 21 times in chapter 8, he uses the name Spirit. Spirit of God. Set your mind, let the Jesus that's in you direct your life. Let the Spirit that's in you nudge you, push you, speak to you, guide you, direct you. And that's why it goes on down then to Romans chapter 8 and 26. It says, if you will do this, it says the Spirit of God will help your weaknesses. For when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, same chapter. For when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, the Spirit of God will make intercession through you. And then we get that classic verse of promise in 28 that says, and all things I will cause to work together to show my goodness in your life. The Bible says. What that says is this. If I set my mind on what I think, what I can do, what I can accomplish, I will always be limited in this life. I'll always be in the self-promoting business. I'll always be competitive with the person I'm working beside. But if I will quit giving thoughts of what I can do and realize I can't do anything, man Jesus. And if I will begin to place my mind on what, wonder what the Spirit wants done in this. Wonder the way Jesus wants to handle this. Jesus, you're right here in me. Jesus said like this, that out of your being shall flow a river of living water. Jesus is flowing out of us at all times, just looking for ways that we will release it in life. And he said, if you will put your mind on what I will guide you through this. The Bible says led, what it says in chapter 8. God said, I'll lead you. And your times of weakness, God says, I'll be able to pray through you. Now, a person that's not, that still mind the things of flesh, we claim that verse over a lot of things. Oh, I know all things are going to work out for good. Oh, I know it's going to work out because no promise to us there. This is given to people that make a decision to focus on what the Spirit of God is saying and doing on the inside them. Because unless God is leading you, if you're leading you, you're going to end up in a pit, honey. But when the Spirit of God is leading you, He's going to lead you in some beautiful things, some beautiful places, and into a beautiful life. Amen. And He says, in your time of weakness, He said, when I see the enemy approaching, or when I see things are not going to be running right in your life, the Spirit says, I'll just pray through you. I'll just pray through you. And then the very thing the devil's tried to use against you, I'm going to cause it to work together for good in your life. That's what He says. For people that allow the Spirit of God to have first place in their life. Now, we just kind of got started here today. We've got a long journey ahead of us for about the next 3 months. Of learning how to live supernaturally. So our first little concept we're working on today is make it about Him. If you go out of this place and remember anything, remember this. I got to make it about Him. I've got to get off of the thing of Him helping me. I've got to get it on to Him. What He's wanting to do in me and through me. I've got to let my life die. And I've got to let Jesus' life, desires, wants to, strength, power, I got to let Him. Because Jesus knows how to be the best kind of mama. Jesus knows how to be the best kind of daddy. Jesus knows how to be the best kind of worker. Jesus knows how to be the best kind of boss. Jesus knows how to be the best legislator. Jesus knows how to be the best politician. Jesus knows how to be the best pastor. Jesus knows how to be the best singer. Jesus knows everything.